Death Stranded!
It's Monday, November 11th, 2019. It's time for the show that condenses the weekly video game happenings and other geek happenings into 60 minutes or less. This is the Noob Shelter Podcast, episode 19. Coming off a nearly orgasmic Seahawks win and recording almost live from deep underneath the city of Tacoma, Washington in the Noob Shelter Bunker. Good evening to you all. I am Matt Fugitive.
I'm still shaking from that game and from Federalist Way, almost live. It's Freebird.
Well, as I was playing a game of Mansions of Madness and barely watching the game, it was a nice game, but sitting on top of my ivory throne from my skyscraper in Puyallup, south of everyone else on this show, it's fade to black.
Ah, Mr. Macy!
Kill this Nazi prick! Hey!
That's good. I'm gonna have to watch that.
Wow. Yeah.
What's that from?
That, Rick and Morty. That was perfect, too, for you, man.
Macy!
Kill this Nazi prick! Oh god, I actually have the ISO here. Give me 1 second. Let me just crank this up a little bit here, because I didn't have time to up the volume on it. So this should do it here.
Ah, Mr. Macy,
kill this Nazi prick! Hey,
you son of a bitch!
That right there, ladies and gentlemen, was a clip from the season premiere of Rick and Morty, which aired last night. And oh my God, it was superb. Mwah! Oh, it gave everybody a little bit of fan service. It was a great welcome back after their long hiatus, that's for sure. John, what were your thoughts, man? I know you said you saw it.
Yeah, it should have been longer. I wish it was longer, I should say.
Well, it's Rick and Morty. It's only going to be as long
as
it's gonna
be, but, I know.
You know. I wish it was longer too, but hey.
But it was good. It was awesome.
They got a lot out of it. I mean, that was just amazing. I'm not going to spoil it. Then we just had that one clip. That'll be our end of show ISO. We'll move on from there. So, Mike, what's going on, man?
Not a whole lot. Finally got my rollerblade wheels in for my office chair, so my office chair is officially complete.
Woohoo! Congratulations.
It's nice. I'm able to get rid of that stupid freaking plastic mat that I've been rolling on for the last... God knows how long.
Yeah, I remember we were talking about that last episode. Those rollerblade wheels are nice. They're choice.
Yes, they are.
I love them. Anything
else?
By
the way...
go ahead.
I also was able to get that NAS box done and ready for you, so it's sitting there waiting, unplugged, and ready to go for you.
Sweet.
Right next to the monitor.
As soon as your stickers come in for your Proton Pack, I will get that ready, and we can do a nice exchange.
Sounds good to me.
Perfect. So, Johnny boy, the pipes are calling.
I'm looking forward to that, by the way, dude. I'm really excited.
It's going to look good once. I'm just waiting for the stickers to come in. So, as soon as they come in, I'll
going to be posting that all over Facebook.
I'll hook you up. I'll even make sure she's nice and clean and ready back to you better than what you gave her. Not knocking. I mean, I'm still appreciative, you know. That's my thank you. Well, that's my thank you.
Yeah, and I understand that. Thank you.
Johnny boy, the pipes are calling. What you been up to?
Not too much. The kid was gone for the weekend, but otherwise, just me and Mariah have been playing Diablo 3.
Ooh, how's that going?
Good. She just hit 68 on her barbarian, and then me and her co-oping, and I think we're 40. I'm not sure.
Nice. Are you doing the season?
I have not started the new season, no.
Okay.
I think the one just ended because her barbarian, which was a seasonal character, ended up in the main everything.
So I'm thinking, when I get paid next week.
Frankly.
Or on Friday, I might piss off everybody in my house and take my PlayStation 4 back and treat myself.
Oh.
Know what I'm thinking. Death Stranded.
Woo. Oh.
Moist.
Yeah.
Stranding.
Stranding.
I said stranding. Didn't I not say stranding?
You said stranded.
Yeah, whatever.
You make me feel so good.
Yeah, because the reviews are coming in on that, and it's looking pretty good. So, we almost didn't make the podcast tonight, because we were sitting here in our various abodes. I was actually watching the Seahawks game. I was watching it at work. Then I had to transfer from my office chair to my car seat, to my driver's seat in my car, and was listening to it on the radio on my way home, and then watched it upstairs for a few minutes while I ate some pizza, and then ran downstairs to do show prep because I had an issue with accessing the server from work, so I couldn't do jack shit all day. But, and I'll explain that in a minute, but yeah, by the time the game just got over with, no more than 5 minutes ago, because it went into overtime and they ran the clock down. The Seahawks, of course, won with a kick. Thank God their guy can kick tonight, because he couldn't kick for shit last week.
Right.
But yeah, that was the most intense football game I've probably watched in my entire life.
Yeah, but it was a damn good one.
I'm not saying it wasn't good. I'm saying it was intense and good.
I don't care what you guys think, but even if we lost, that would have been one hell of a game.
That game is going to go down in the 2019 books. I guarantee it. Almost ended up in a tie. That's how good it was.
So yeah.
I was cussing out loud, and I'm sure my roommates upstairs were like, what the hell is he bitching about? Well, they were probably watching the game too, so they know. When Russell Wilson let it fly and floated it into the arms of one of the defensive of the 49ers and they caught it for an interception, I literally almost pissed myself when I saw that happen. I was like, no!
So?
Douchebag!
But I mean, come on now.
We cleaned
first
it up.
Half, second quarter, one of our guys, debut, first...
yeah, I saw that.
First fumble recovery in for a touchdown.
Yep, I saw that. It was that one guy that we called in to cover. And didn't he run, 28 yards on a third down?
Mm-hmm.
I think so.
It was, third and 16, and he ran 28 yards. Man, that was... Anyway, so all that aside, yeah, so we had a... We have an issue here at Noob Shelter headquarters, not in the bunker, but upstairs, where there's a little bot. There's a fiber optic modem upstairs plugged into a wall, and it keeps getting knocked out. I have no control over the positioning of this stuff. I'm just a renter here, but I have literally... several times mentioned maybe you should duct tape the cord to the wall. I think they finally did it, because we had an internet outage here. I want to say it was on Saturday, and it knocked out the fiber. It knocked out everybody, and we were calling CenturyLink, and CenturyLink, we're not getting any data. Finally, after an hour on the phone with CenturyLink, Brad, the head roommate here, looked upstairs and saw that the modem was unplugged. Yeah.
We suck.
So, but because of that, the IP address of the server changed, because I had to get it set up to static. That's completely my fault. But I was unable to access the Noob Shelter Freedom controller, so I couldn't do shit today. So while I was down here watching the football game, I put a show together. Yeah, and I think I did a damn good job.
That's just it. That's why I usually use no IP for that, because, I mean, we don't get a static IP on the outside.
I use no IP, but the issue is that I can access Freedom Controller locally, but if shit goes down, The no IP that I have set up, I don't think it's working correctly, because I have it in a, I have the Freedom Controller running in a, I'm actually probably going to be moving the Freedom Controller back to our original hosting. So if this happens again, I still have access to the Freedom Controller, because I still have that. I still pay $10 a month for a computer somewheres in the UK that I can install Linux on and install the Freedom Controller on. I was originally took it down because I was going to get rid of it, but then I decided to try turning it into a Shoutcast server, but that's not working. So, yeah. Anyways, but yeah, little bits of work. I'll get it fixed. But moving forward, since we kind of got a late start, let's go ahead and get started. So one of the big stories that came out recently, and I've been noticing this, I don't know if you guys have noticed it, anytime I go to YouTube or I check my email, there's always this email or notice that YouTube has changed its terms and services.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that change, I'm not exactly sure, but we're going to find out now, that change is igniting a new renewal call for YouTubers to unionize. So to say that YouTubers have an uneasy relationship with the company that hosts their videos, of course, would be a massive understatement. It's not uncommon for YouTube to demonetize videos with little in the way of explanation, and as a recent Terms of Service update reminded users, it can also just straight up remove videos and channels whenever it wants, should it deem such a thing necessary. So that is apparently renewed calls to unionize YouTubers. Good luck with that. The recently added Terms of Service clause is part of an update that will officially go into effect on December 10th. YouTube has already made the details public. The clause states that YouTube may terminate your access or your Google account's access to all or part of the service if YouTube believes, in its sole discretion, that provision of the service to you is no longer commercially viable. Many initially took this to mean that YouTube might start indiscriminately pulling the plug on channels that don't have enough subscribers or otherwise ranking in those sweet dollars that they like. So that is why I'm kind of glad we're not doing the streaming anymore, because we barely had any viewers, and if that's the case, we would get pulled.
Well, they would. They might delete it, but it has affected some people. Mm-hmm. They're already correcting the issue, but I ran across a video on YouTube by Markiplier. He was doing a live stream, playing a game, and having people vote by spamming emojis.
Oh, boy.
And they were just outright shutting down whole Google accounts because of it.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
The story comes from The Verge, and the YouTube clarified to them that it's not changing the way their products work, how they collect or process data, or any of our settings. Instead, this new update is focused on clarification. Currently, it puts things in stark terms, where elsewhere in the Terms of Service, the company outright states that it's under no obligation to host or serve content. It can, in other words, remove whatever it sees fit. But that's pretty much always been the case. So, in addition, a version of the commercially viable clause has been in the site's Terms of Service since last year. Just most people really didn't notice it. While the latest iteration states that YouTube has sole discretion to terminate access, the previous one said that YouTube first needs to reasonably believe it has cause to do so. So this makes me wonder, is there a lot of vitriol going up on YouTube that we're not seeing? That could be the reason why they said, well, we just need to put the ban hammer down and be able to rip crap off whenever we can. You guys think?
Possibly.
Well, I haven't seen anything, so the question being now is if this is going to be an automated process or if it's going to be, you know, human-driven. So we'll have to keep an update on that and see where it goes. And I think Mike is in a wind tunnel again.
Whooshy, whooshy.
I hear the
wishy wishy.
Yeah, well, now you spoke and stopped.
Weird.
Now you spoke and stopped. So you guys.
See, told you I'm not.
You guys dropped an article in the chat. I don't remember who it was, about the cosmetic microtransactions. John, you've been kind of keeping your fingers on the pulse of this, right?
Yeah, I've been. You want to take. As they've been popping up.
You want to take.
Yeah, that's definitely been John for Diablo 4.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what the hell? Oh. Let me see if I can find the article since you were saying the...
It's already in the notes under two steps forward.
Oh, you just... Oh, I see.
Yeah, if you need the actual link to the article, it's there.
No, it's not. It's broken.
Oh, shit. Is it broken? Did they break it?
404.
No.
Wow, they did broke it. Yeah.
You broke it.
Anyways, they've already... One of the developers was doing an interview, but they've already confirmed that there's going to be cosmetic microtransactions in Diablo 4.
Right.
But so we're so early in, they're still doing development. If they're already planning microtransactions this early on, are the seasons going to be a subscription fee now? Or are we going to have pay-to-win special epic weapons that you can only get it by buying certain plans?
I don't know. I actually was thinking about this after I read what you had posted. And it got me thinking about the current cosmetics that Diablo 3 has. And the infrequency by which you get certain cosmetics. Like wings or pets. And it made me think that it could more than likely be, because I do recall there being outspoken people saying, you know, because of the limited access to this stuff, and there's no option to actually get it anywhere else besides, like, treasure goblins, and very, very freaking rare treasure goblins at that.
Yeah.
It could very well be that they're going to be offering those types of cosmetics to people.
Could be, okay.
So, I mean, it could just be expanding on the current cosmetic system and giving people the option of purchasing them so that they're not having to pull their hair out when their friend has this awesome pet or this awesome set of wings and they don't.
Right.
So, because I've gotten a lot of hate from my wife because I got a pet and she really, 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 really wants. So,
and that's why you don't game with spouses, everybody. I'm joking.
Oh, no, I still game with her. Every now and again, I'll rub it in, though. Yeah.
So, all right, so that's pretty much what's going on so far with the cosmetics.
At that point in time, I think it's just we're going to have to keep an eye on it.
Yep, it's going to be one of those follow-ups.
Right. Yeah, you're right there, John. It could actually go further than that. I am hoping that they're smart enough not to, because, I mean, Diablo 3 is still has really great replay value. Still. And it's been out for, what, 4 or 5 years? And has been ported to PS4 and Xbox One from the 360 and PS3.
I think it's been 6. It was 2013 release.
Yeah, so 2013 release originally for the Xbox 360 and the PS3, and then was ported to the Xbox One and PS4, and it's just seen quite a bit of success. So, I mean, if they ride that wave with the incoming Diablo 4, then I'm hoping that they'll be smart about this. If not, there's going to be major backlash.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Because everyone's been anticipating their announcement of Diablo 4 for quite a while. And now that they've announced it, all those who have been playing Diablo 3 and who started playing Diablo 3 are going to have their eyes on Blizzard Activision. So,
oh yeah, that's for sure. As if they don't already have their eyes on them right now and their ears. But yeah, no, I totally get it. So moving on, we're going to keep you guys updated on the Diablo 4 thing. So I'm sure there's going to be a lot of news coming out about it. So moving on down the list, another one of you guys posted this. Sword and Shield are coming out November 15th. Internet's all crazy about it. Lots of leaked info coming out. We have a bunch of new information coming out, such as Weezing's going to get some kind of a bong-looking regional cover for it. Farfetch'd is finally getting an evolution.
Mr. Mime turns British.
Yep, we saw that.
Yeah, Mr. Mime is not scary or British.
I'm getting that. I'm getting to that right now. So the Pokemon community seems to be up in arms because the Pokemon full Pokedex seems to have leaked. And there are no Pokemon from any of the previous games. Not all of them. There's like a couple, and I'll talk about them in just a second here. In the what is the name of the area again? I forgot the name of it. It's Galleon.
Mm-hmm.
In the Galleon region. Now, before we go into this, in my defense, I get it because it's a completely different region on the other side of a continent. If this is supposed to be their version of Great Britain, the chances of you seeing Japanese Pokemon in Great Britain, you know, it's about as good as seeing a camel, you know, walking at Champs-Élysées, you know?
Sure. In the wild, yes, but they're, you can't even import them, period.
Oh, yeah, I know. I'm sure they're going to do something about that, though.
No, they said that they're not going to.
Supposedly, the
system can't handle it.
I thought that they said that they at some point would do an update that would allow certain Pokemon to come over.
Certain, yeah. They're probably not going to do the whole Dex,
though. Well, yeah, no. We already confirmed that, but
the animations and things they've shown, the images that they've given for the Pokemon battles and all that, they're not that much more upgraded. They're not taking up that much more space.
Yeah.
The consoles can handle so much more.
That's
why
true.
Why aren't they all there?
That is... Well, we'll have to keep our eyes on
not
this.
A problem before this?
That is true, because they were throwing Pokemon left and right in everything, including the Game Boy games.
Exactly.
So some of the Pokemon that will be making their way over in their regional variants is Weezing was the first one, and he's going to have like a big old smokestack top hat, and everybody's calling him Bong Weezing. Farfetch'd will be there, but we don't know if he's going to have a region look to him. It doesn't look like it. But he has an evolution, which is Sirfetch'd, which looks really cool. It's Farfetch'd, all nice and white with a big old leek sword and shield. Mr. Mime has a region variant where he's not as creepy looking. And he has an evolution, Mr. Rhyme, which is a British variant of Mr. Mime. Looks pretty cool. Not as creepy. Corsola, it looks like, is going to have a region variant, as well as an evolution, Cursola. Now, Zigzagoon is going to have a regional variant, and his evolution is going to be regional as well. And then he's got a third evolution, Obstagoon, which looks like Gene Simmons from Kiss. There's another Pokemon. I don't know the name of it. I believe it is... I'm not exactly sure which variant it is. It's a little floating mask thing. Again, forgive me. I don't know all my Pokemon. But he will have... he doesn't have an evolution, but he will have an evolution. Roongeus. It looks like they're going to have a Mega Charizard, a Mega Pikachu. So we'll see Pikachu and Charizard in the game. A Mega Meowth. A Mega Hitmonchamp. So those will be there. A Mega Eevee. A Mega Blastoise. Eevee. There is that's not Blastoise. That's Dreadnought. I don't know what that is. I'll have to look into that. It looks like a Blastoise, though. And that's pretty much all we're getting. Oh, and Ponyta is getting a My Little Pony makeover.
Yay.
Yeah, it looks cool.
My Little Ponyta.
Looks like, yeah, exactly. There we go. We got our title of the show.
Hooray.
My Little Ponyta. I'm going to make a note of that right now. But looks like we're also getting kind of a variant of Meowth. And yeah, that's pretty much all that's going to be thrown in there. I want to know how they decide, you know, if they just pull Pokemon names out of a hat.
I don't know. But apparently there's an evolution for that version of Meowth called Berserker.
Yep. Yep.
It's like, really?
So, moving on, we'll keep update on that. Here's another big story that came out that I really, really, really am kind of excited about to talk about.
A boot?
What the hell is this? Who... So Google Stadia, sorry, I got distracted there.
Oh, shut up! Good job.
My phone went off. So Google Stadia unveiled its 12-game lineup launch lineup.
I thought I turned that off. Thank
you. Oh, man.
This is good.
This is stupid. I might have to actually turn my phone off here. I think I'm just going to go ahead and turn my phone off here.
Ta-da!
Ta-da! My notification sound on my phone is the Windows ta-da.
Oh, my God. For Facebook. That's hilarious.
My phone is off. I'm sorry. It's gone. Moving on! So, anyways, Google's unveiled its full 12-game launch day lineup for Stadia. Let's break it down, shall we? The first one on the list is, of course, Assassin's Creed Odyssey. Yay. Anyone? Yay. Assassin's Creed? Yay. Destiny 2 is coming out. Of course. Kind of better late than never. Guilt, G-Y-L-T. No idea what that is. I'll have to look into that.
Okay.
It sounds familiar. There's a wind tunnel again. Wind tunnel.
Technical malfunction.
So, Guilt, shape your fears, fear the shapes. Enter the new creation from Tequila Works, a journey where you face your worst fears and are confronted with the emotional impact of your actions. Set in a creepy, melancholic world, Guilt is an eerie story mixing fantasy and reality in a surreal place where your nightmares become reality. Hide from terrible creatures or confront them as you find your way through the challenges of this wicked, 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 wicked world. I added the extra wickeds for pizzazz. So that's
many wickeds.
So that's Guilt.
Much wicked, very guilt.
I don't know why the hell we're getting this thing. Just Dance 2020. Yay. Kine. K-I-N-E. Never heard of that one. Let's take a look at that and see what that's all about.
A boot.
KineGame.com. Kine is a narrative 3D puzzle game about three daring machines that aspire to be musicians. Oh, that should be good. Embark across a theatrical dreamscape by solving a wide variety of increasingly difficult 3D puzzles. Guide Ule, Quat, and Rue as they struggle to form a band and find their big break. Yep. Mortal Kombat 11, of course. Red Dead Redemption 2. That's actually kind of exciting. Because I know RDR2 is coming to PC. So it makes sense that Stadia would pick up on it. Rise of the Tomb Raider.
RDR2 is already coming to PC, and there's been massive, massive issues.
Oh, really?
With loading. Oh, yeah.
I'll have to look into that. That'll be a story for next week. Samurai Showdown. Now, is this a remake, or is this the original Samurai Showdown? That's what I'm wondering. Shadow of the Tomb Raider Definitive Edition. I don't know what Thumper is. That sounds naughty.
Do we need to sit you down and have the talk?
Oh, okay. Thumper is a rhythm violence game.
Wow.
Oh, it's like Beat Saber.
Probably. Thumper is a rhythm violence. It is rhythm violence. You are a space beetle. Kill crackhead.
What?
Go to
you
Thumper.
Are space beetle, kill crackhead.
Go to thumpergame.com. I'm going to drop it in our Discord here for you guys. And scroll down. Thumper is a rhythm violence, classic rhythm action, blistering speed, and brutal physicality. You are a space beetle. Brave the hellish void and confront your nemesis, a mechanical giant head. Play an ultra-glossy 2D or fully immersive VR.
Wow.
Yep. Got some pretty decent reviews. I haven't seen it. I'll have to check it out. It looks pretty pretty, honestly.
Yeah.
It's a pretty pretty game.
Damn, it's available for everything. Like, literally.
And then, of course, Tomb Raider Definitive Edition. I'm sure they're just remakes and stuff like that. So,
screenshots.
Yep. The company also unveiled... Oh, go ahead, Mike. Sorry.
I don't know if you saw this, but this game, Thumper, is available on Steam, Steam VR, Nintendo Switch, PS4, PlayStation VR, Xbox One, App Store, Google Play, Oculus Quest, Oculus Rift, and Oculus Go.
Well, I plan on getting an Oculus Go at some point, because I do miss my VR headset. I miss just putting it on and escaping to my little patio in my cyberpunk world. It's ASMR type stuff. But, yeah, I'll have to... Holy crap, you're right. Steam VR, Switch, Stadia.
It looks like frequency and amplitude.
Really? I'll have to check it out after the show.
There's a little quick trailer on their website. It's like a minute long, and it looks just like a new version of frequency and amplitude. You don't get to see all the tracks, but you can see when you need to change and when it's going to have you do different stuff, since it's going to be VR too.
And if you also want to know what other games are slated for release on Stadia, there are 14 more games that they listed that are slated for release before the end of the year, which are as follows: Attack on Titan 2, Final Battle. I didn't even know they made a video game on Attack on Titan.
They make a video game on just about everything these days.
Borderlands 3, Darksiders Genesis, Dragon Ball Xenoverse 2, Farming Simulator, because why not?
Yeah.
Final Fantasy 15, Football Manager 2020. I want to talk about that in just a second. Ghost Recon Breakpoint. Grid, Metro Exodus, NBA 2K20, Rage 2, Trials Rising, and Wolfenstein Youngblood.
Youngblood.
Circling back, I want to make a public service not a public service announcement, because it's not doing anybody service. I want to make a public announcement, though, that while I am anti-FIFA, I am not anti-soccer, and I am not anti-Football Manager 2020. I just want to make that clear. My issues with FIFA are the fact that the game has horrendous microtransactions to the point where it should also almost be classified as a freaking casino.
Yeah.
And the fact that the FIFA organization themselves are horrible, horrible people run by drug cartels. That is all. That is why we say fuck FIFA on this show, or at least I do. So, if you don't believe me, go to YouTube, Google John Oliver, FIFA, have yourself a laugh. I'm kind of curious how this is going to work with Stadia, if it's going to work. Again, I still maintain my position about streaming video games. We will see. I've been proven wrong before. So, but I am totally, totally going to check this out when it launches. I'm not going to be able to check it out when it launches, but I'm going to check it out as soon as I can.
Yeah, I kind of wish I would have jumped in on the Founders thing.
I wish I had the money to, because I would have.
Wasn't it initially like just a $129 for the base, though?
I think so.
Yeah, I wish I would have had that back when it was an offer.
So, one of the big things happening this week is Death Stranding is out. I don't have a horn. I need whatever.
Good enough.
So, so Death Stranding is now available on PlayStation 4. As we mentioned in a previous episode, it will be coming to PC at some point. So, here's the pricing if you want to buy it. I put the link in the Discord for you guys if you'd like. So, they have four different editions. They have a collector's edition, which includes the full game, a steelbook case, BB pod statue, so you can have a BB if you want. That's the little baby in the pod. I don't know why you would want that. A Nendroid Mor Ludens minifigure with Lannard. A Bridges cargo case. Digital bonuses include complete avatar set. Timefall digital music album. Timefall behind-the-scenes making-of video. And yeah, it looks like special gold versions of in-game items once earned through gameplay include Luden's mask, sunglasses.
Okay. Power skeleton. See that it's at least cosmetic.
Power skeleton enhances ability to handle heavy cargo. There you go, John.
But it notice it puts in parentheses gold. So these are just reskins.
Yeah. 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 Oh, yeah. There you go. Oh, yeah. Reskins. Good. Okay.
These are skins. That's fine.
Unlock in-game items via story progression. Okay. All-terrain skeleton enhances ability to remain upright when traversing uneven surfaces. And armor plate level 2 protects from falls, gunfire, and other damage. So that is the collector's edition. And how much is that retail? Drum roll, please. $200.
Ouch.
Make you holla.
Nope.
Yeah.
Pass. Gotta on get that money. Thank you.
Then we have the digital deluxe edition, which includes Mike's air tunnel.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I'm hearing it again from you, dude.
Oh, my God.
I got an echo for a second, too.
Yeah. So we're getting...
Someone's tapping the line.
Come on.
What the hell was that?
What?
Oh, you know what? Give me one second here. Oh, I can just work around that. You guys can't hear it, but... Oh, the... People can. Let me...
What do you hear?
There is... They got some stupid music going on in the background on this thing. Let me get rid of that. The volume mixer... where is it? Goodbye. Okay.
Bye-bye now.
Yeah, whatever.
Technical malfunction! We suck! Wah, 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 wah!
Digital Deluxe Edition, which includes, Death Stranded Complete Avatar Set, Timefall Music Album, Behind the Scenes Video, Luden's Mask, Power Skeleton, All-Terrain Skeleton, Armor Plate. So that is going to run you... Drum roll, please. I got to get a drum roll here. $80.
That's...
All right.
I wish that had the steel case and that stuff for that price, and I might be a little more willing to put out for that.
And yeah. Now, finally, the special edition, which includes... The steelbook case. Ha ha ha, John.
Yeah, unlike the collector's edition, of which I'm pretty sure Matt is willing to put out for it.
No, I'm not going to. No, I am not putting $200 for that. I don't want a BB statue. I don't want to. I don't want a fetus baby in a jar sitting on my desk. So special edition. Here's where. That's the digital deluxe edition. So you're not going to get the case with the digital deluxe edition because it's a digital edition.
I know. And
yeah, the special edition comes with the steelbook case.
Why not the special deluxe edition? Why can't I have the steelbook case plus?
Because you know
you are a douchebag.
Douchebag.
No. I'm gonna shill out the money.
You set it up.
I would like.
No, I agree.
That steel case. That's nice. Agree. That's what I did with Kingdom Hearts.
Anyway, special edition includes the steel case, Luden's mask, the music album, and the making of video. And the special edition retails for $70. Yeah. And then, of course, they have the standard editions, disc or digital, for $60. So is it worth $10 more for the soundtrack and the making of video and a cosmetic in-game item, but a steelbook case? Maybe. Maybe not.
Nah.
I don't know. I don't think so.
I can justify it as being a collector's edition inside the steel case because they usually include the extra art.
Right.
And if they had the extra digital stuff, I'd be like, and it's got this, so...
So let's look at the reviews for this game so far. Spoiler-free, of course. If I notice anything that has a spoiler in it, I will promptly knock it out. This is via Metacritic.com. They have a Metacritic score of 83 so far, based on 85 critics. The user score is up to 6.8.
Wow.
And couple of a 100 score was from Digital Chumps. Death Stranded reinvents how video games design can work. Takes you through an experience you didn't expect, doesn't hold back with its design intentions and execution, and takes the gamer through a journey like no other. This is a masterpiece that only Kojima could pull off. Let's go to an 80% score. These are professional critics, by the way. This is from ZTGD. 80%. Death Stranding is a weird game that I could not stop thinking about while reviewing it. It has plenty of sluggishness to it. Sometimes I never wanted to play it again, but once that back half hit, I was enthralled. There were times I couldn't wait to play it. I spent over 50 hours playing this game, and eventually I wanted to spend more. Kojima and his team have crafted something that truly feels unique, for better or worse. It is hard to compare it to anything else, but that doesn't always mean it was fun. Not everyone will adore this game, but I guarantee no one will ever be able to forget it either. Here's the lowest score from a critic, 35. This is from Stavivor. I don't know who the hell that is. Death Stranded is an irredeemable piece of garbage that should serve as a warning to publishers who give developers carte blanche to create art.
You are a douchebag.
Douchebag!
So now for the user reviews, let's start with the highest one that I got here, which is a 10. Let me expand this here. The story is interesting and engaging. The gameplay is fun and relaxing. I really enjoyed the experience and was really excited to see each turn of the story, each turn the story provided. It was great, especially the Hades segments. Ooh, I wonder what that's about. A 9, I can't read because it's in Russian. So something about Star Wars Battlefield 2. There's a bunch of garbly gook, and then the last thing is Star Wars Battlefront 2.
That's hilarious.
Let's read another 10, since that one was a joke. Really liking the game so far. It's a nice change of pace of what's been coming out lately. Creativity has been lacking for sure in the industry for quite some time now. Yeah. Here's a number 2 review. Sorry, but this is a very, and he goes on, very boring game. Wish it was good, but the game is not great just because you like the maker. The 0 score apparently contains spoilers, but I can't read it because it looks like it's in Spanish. Ojorgo y pésimo gráficos ruines in inferiores en otros Lamentos Excluvios de Sony's. It looks like he's bitching about the graphics and Sony, it being a Sony exclusive. Joga Blandi, Terbers y Fresca. I don't know how to speak Spanish. I apologize if I'm butchering it and calling somebody a French cow. Tal vez unco punto positivo se jam as cutscenes. Pues, Ajuna, something about the. I think he thinks the cutscenes are positive. If I'm kind of getting that, he hates the fact that it's exclusive to Sony. He must be a Microsoft fanboy. Something about the graphics ruining life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
We stick to English, dude?
So, hey, I'm just trying to deconstruct this shit, man. That's what my job is. So 83% is what the score currently is. I'm sure it's going to fluctuate up and down. The game did come out a couple days ago, so not everybody's gotten all their ducks in a row yet. So 97 critics have reviewed it so far. 3,724 users have reviewed it. I'm sure that number is going to grow by the next show. And that is what we got on Death Stranded. Unless you guys have heard anything else coming out of the camp?
Not that I've heard of, nope.
That's pretty much it.
Well, so far so good. Now, like I told the guys at the pre-show before we started recording, I am probably going to pick this game up after the 15th. It's a possibility. I have to see where my finances lie, but I might have it. If I do get it, I'll give it a good run through with as much time as I can, and I'll get back to you all.
What you should also get for the PlayStation is a game called The Forest.
The Forest?
Yes.
What is The Forest?
Survival horror.
I don't do survival horrors, so.
And yet you're going to get Death Stranding.
That's not a survival horror.
It's a horror game, dude.
Well, if it is, then they sure fooled me. Moving on. We're going to sell it. Today is a big day, though, in video game history, as we celebrate the birthday of one of the games that pretty much sold me on the Xbox for a very long time, Halo 2. I'm sure you guys remember.
Mm-hmm.
Halo 2 is the first game that I ever, that ever made me go out to a store. It was Circuit City at the time when I lived in Spokane. Buy a Switch, a four-port Switch, and hook up four Xboxes to four TVs and network them all together and have an all-night LAN party with the Xbox original. So they're celebrating its 15 years. Turned 15 years old today. Halo 2 begins with a celestial siege, thousands of alien lizard people, religious zealots, and improbable jaws, totting mean-looking laser swords inside their bulbous spaceships crash to Earth to claim it as their own. Humanity's only defense, of course, is Master Chief. The Space Marine is a walking tank whose face is a single head-sized Oakley lens. He is gifted with a remarkable talent for blowing up whole squads of aliens with the help of artificial intelligence embodied by what appears to be a nude, prophetic American Apparel model named Cortana and a turncoat alien called the Arbiter. Old Chief keeps humanity alive. Barely. It is patently ridiculous and an absurd action figure collision as conceived by an 8-year-old drunk on Capri Sun and James Cameron movies. It remains 15 years later. Awesome. It became the best-selling entertainment release, not video game, but entertainment of all time, when it arrived on November 9th, 2004. So we're a couple days past. I don't know why it said today was the day. Because I just got this article today, and it said today was the day. So, but yeah, do you guys have any fond memories of Halo 2?
I played a little bit of multiplayer Halo 2, but for the most part, it was Halo 1 was one of the last FPS I played for a long time.
Okay. What about you, Mike?
I didn't play, actually. I had a PlayStation 2 and played a lot of Time Spiral and Time Spiral 2, and then got into Resident Evil from there.
Kill this Nazi prick! Hey! You son of a bitch!
Okay. Sure. Whatever you say. Oh, God.
Okay, whatever. So, apparently you've never heard of Time Spiral.
No, I've heard of Time Spiral. I had a PlayStation 2. I was just more focused on the Xbox.
That's fine.
So anyways, we're actually going to wrap this up pretty early tonight because we kind of had the whole Seahawks debacle, so we kind of barreled through everything because I didn't know how much time we would have left. AMC's first video game is coming out. And when we say AMC, we're talking about the TV channel AMC, yep, who brought you Halt and Catch Fire, one of my favorite shows, and The Walking Dead, another favorite of mine. And, of course, Breaking Bad. You cannot forget about Breaking Bad. And Vince Gillian coming back, of course, to TV and doing Breaking Bad. Can't get any better than that. Well, they're releasing a video game, and it's an intentionally boring flight simulator. So, airplanes are the worst. I'm sure we've all been on them. I mean, I personally think airplanes are fun. They're loud, full of babies and germs, and despite being the safest way to travel, terrifying. No doubt there's something incredibly drab and dreadful about being stuck tens of thousands of feet up in the air with total strangers and absolutely nothing to do. Why not, thought AMC, turn that experience into a video game? Per Uproxx, the game, Airplane Mode, has been described as intentionally boring, a creative approach the network honed with The Walking Dead. According to the game's official Steam page, Airplane Mode delivers all the thrills of a real-time 6-hour commercial airline flight in coach, At least you got a window seat. Buckle up. Who needs the Outer Worlds when you've got fairly accurate satellite imagery of your flight path, authentic ambient noise, and an overhead reading light that and complimentary aircraft information card? Airplane mode is developed by Hosni Ajul. Also might be hinting at something more underneath its dull aesthetic. A description of an early build of the title might be nodding at a bigger purpose. Flying is the safest mode of travel, so there's nothing to worry about. Just sit back and enjoy. The network calls it a meditation on life between destinations. And you and the YouTube page for the above teaser trailer that will be in our show links outs to its anthology horror series, The Terror. One wonders then if the game contains hints of the next season or if it's really just a shitty flight simulator. Airplane mode is going to come to Mac and PC in 2020. So be ready for that. I saw the videos of it. See. It's quite boring looking. Reminds me of that that old fairy tale video game that's actually real, that I believe was supposed to be for the Sega CD, called Desert Bus. It was part of a mini game series done by Penn and Teller. Mm. I'm sure you guys have you guys heard of Desert Bus?
I heard of it. I think once.
When you get off of this, when you get off of the show, go to YouTube and search for it. There's actually been charities that have done gameplays of Desert Bus, and pretty much the whole purpose of the bus is you just drive a bus from one desert town to Las Vegas and back, and I think it's like an 8 to 12 hour trip in real time. And you have to keep steering the bus or else it will drive off the road and crash. And that's all you do. Let me see here. I think the actual time bus was... It's part of the game Smoke and Mirrors. And it was originally for Sega CD in 1995. And Desert Bus, drive the bus from Tucson, Arizona to Las Vegas, Nevada in real time at a maximum speed of 45 miles per hour. And the feat requires 8 hours of continuous play to complete. Crafting
component. Jesus.
And all you're doing is you just got to steer the bus and make sure it does not go off the road. And that's 8 hours of real time. There, it looks like there's nobody on the bus. No action happens. You're just driving down a road for 8 hours until you get to your destination. So,
wow.
Way to go, Penn and Teller. Yeah. Anyways, so I think...
That sounds like they did that on purpose.
They did!
Just to see if someone will actually do it.
You guys should...
Because you know well, as I do, someone's going to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You should Google... Or look up Penn and Teller Smoke and Mirrors. They have playthroughs of all four games, including Desert Bus. Some people have actually sped up through Desert Bus because you know you're not going to watch an 8 hour YouTube. Although I'm pretty sure there are YouTube channels out there or YouTube videos out there of the full 8 hours if you're into that thing. Because people have actually played it, like I said, for charity for the full 8 hours. So, do you guys have anything else you want to add?
About it.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to think that was probably one of the fastest episodes we've done.
Yeah,
we're clocking in under 53 minutes. So
yeah,
according to my my time code here. So, but yeah, that was it. We're done. Thanks, Seahawks, for ruining our night. Not really. good job on winning. So broadcasting or recording almost live from deep underneath the city of Tacoma, Washington in the Noob Shelter Bunker. I am Matt Fugitive, and of course Freebird Rhythone up in Federalis Way, and the lovely Fade to Black up in his ivory tower in Poo Poo Town.
I'm sitting down.
Yeah. Have a good night, everybody. I will figure out an end of show mix here in just a second. Oh, actually I got one. We're gonna do Moon Men to celebrate Rick and Morty returning. So, good night, everyone.
Goodbye.
Rick!
together. Cosmos without hatred. Stars like diamonds in your eyes. The ground can be space, 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 space. With feet marching towards a peaceful sky. All the moon men want things their way, but we make sure they see the sun. Goodbye, moon men. Say goodbye, moon men. Goodbye, moon men. Goodbye, moon men. Oh, goodbye. Cosmos without hatred, diamond stars of cosmic light, quasars shine through endless night, and everything is one in the beauty. And now we say goodbye, moon man. You say goodbye.
About moon men. Mr. Meesey, kill this Nazi prick.
Hey, you.